Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. And Terry McCormick is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Terry, how you doing? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was good.
Yeah?
Enjoyed it.
What was your favorite part of it?
Oh, I don't know. You know, sitting around, relaxing, eating, and then taking naps.
nothing wrong with that. And, boy, those two games yesterday were a perfect time to take a nap because,
they were bad. They were very much nap time games, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, and we're going to move into the Titans-Colts game in just a second. If the Texans – I'm going to ask you this. If the Texans had the Steelers scheduled to this point in the season, they played the same schedule as the Steelers, what do you think the Texans' record would be? Would it be the same or would it be different in your opinion?
Maybe a little better. I think that team, there was something internally wrong with that team. I think Bill O'Brien had basically run his course. And, you know, when players stop buying in, I don't know that for sure, but it sure looks like it, that players stop buying in and bring in a guy like Romeo Crennel, who's got a different, more laid-back personality, and sometimes you get guys to respond and play. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that there's talent on that team, but for whatever reason, you know, they just had burned out on Bill O'Brien's, what it looks like to me. So I think their record would probably be a couple of games better, but I think the change in coaching has probably been the biggest turnaround for them.
They have not lost. Well, I take that back. There's one team. They've lost to the Vikings. That is the only team they've lost to this season that's not a playoff team. Well, I guess technically the Ravens are on the outside looking in. So, but, I mean, Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, Vikings were their first four games, which that's brutal. Titans, Packers, Browns. That's their losses this year.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, finish up 7-9, 8-8, which would be pretty good after an 0-5 start.
They're gonna play part of the story here in this division because they still play the Colts twice.
Twice, yep.
And they've got the Titans again. Mm-hmm. And they've got some weak opponents, which I think they should beat.
Bears and Bengals.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I think they're going to be feeling pretty good about themselves and be a tough out unless they get a wave of injuries. When you got Watson in there, that's the thing. When you watch him yesterday, when you have him, you have a chance just because he makes so many plays where the initial play's not there. He just starts moving and extending, and the next thing you know, he's hitting the guy down the field.
Is it me or did J.J. Watt look like he was 5 years younger yesterday too?
He looked really good, that's for sure. He was wreaking havoc. Looked like 2014 J.J. Watt. I think when you look at this team, you know, like I said before, there's some talent. Do you think, you know, if they had known that they were going to go down this road and fire Bill O'Brien, do you think they would have rethought the trading of DeAndre Hopkins? You know, wow, what if they still had that guy?
He has 5 100-plus yard receiving games this season. There's no other receiver in the league that's got that. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, Bill O'Brien, the GM, is going to go down as maybe – listen to this. Here's – you want a fact? He may go down as somebody who was worse than Ryan Grigson in Indianapolis. How about that? He may go down as worse – I can't use Ken Wisenhunt because he was a coach. But if Ken Wisenhunt was a general manager, I would throw Ken Wisenhunt into that – But, yeah, I mean, Bill O'Brien, the GM, was a colossal, colossal failure. And that's on the Texans front office and ownership group that they allowed him to do that buffoonery. I mean, he is going to set that franchise back, which is good news for everybody else in the AFC South.
It is. But, you know, but at the same time, you talked about Deshaun Watson. You know, it looks like to me, and maybe with a new direction they can turn this around, but it looks like to me that the Texans are going to do a lot of the same things that the Colts did with Andrew Luck and not not give the guy enough protection, not have enough weapons around him, and waste the best years of the guy's career by, you know, floundering around in the middle of the pack and occasionally making the playoffs, making a first-round exit, that sort of thing.
You know who else you could throw into there? You know who else you could throw into that mix that I guarantee would jump in and say, hey, don't forget about me? Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Same deal. Because you know why? It's easy when you have that special guy under center to say, you know what? He's so good, he'll bail us out on our deficiencies on offense. We'll just keep, you know, we'll keep doing, you know, things on defense and do other things, right, rather than to help him out.
Absolutely.
And what's interesting is teams with mediocre quarterbacks, what do? They do just the opposite, right?
They load up talent around.
Yes, they just try to keep giving him everything he can do. Sound familiar? Marcus Mariota? Let's just keep loading up everything on offense to give him every advantage possible. That's what you do with an average or mediocre quarterback. Instead, when you have the special ones, you tend to not help them because you know they're so good.
And I'll give you another one that fits into that category as well in terms of a guy who the team didn't do him any favors by surrounding him with talent. It's the guy the Titans are going to face on Sunday, Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
All those years with the Chargers.
No doubt.
You know, they didn't put a lot of talent around him. He took them to the playoffs multiple times, but they could never, ever get past the Patriots and, you know, whatever other teams stood in their way.
Well said. That's another great example. Now, Phillip Rivers has been dealing with that toe injury that he suffered in the Packers game. He hasn't practiced all week, but we've seen his history. He's not missing this game. He will be in there. Although the Titans do get some good news on that front. DeForest Buckner, who is quite the disruptor on defense, is not going to suit up and play on Sunday.
Yeah, he's on the COVID-19 list he's on. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so, because he's not on the injury. He's not on the injury report.
Yeah,
so.
He's not on the injury report. He is now confirmed to have tested positive, which means he's out 10 days, minimum.
Yeah, that's a big deal because that Colts defensive front they were giving Ryan Tannehill fits. He took a lot of hits in that Thursday night game. So if you're the Titans and you know you've already got a patchwork offensive line that he's going to be playing behind, and you've got to do extra things to protect him. The fact that their best defensive lineman won't play has got to be good news, because that was probably Tannehill's worst game of the year against the Colts in that Thursday nighter.
Who is the first Titan to step on the field for the first time this season? That's a lot of first in there. A, Adoree Jackson. B, Isaiah Wilson.
Wow. That's a good question.
Uh-huh, I know. That's why I asked it. Who's going to be the first to suit up and play a game with the Titans this season? Adoree Jackson or Isaiah Wilson? Or should C, none of the above?
Probably none of the above.
Really?
If you're going to make me pick one, I'll say Isaiah Wilson, simply for the fact that he's at least practicing and he's next man up.
Why didn't they IR Adoree Jackson, Terry, if that's the case?
I think what happened is, you know, and nobody will confirm this, I think he was out there practicing when they designated him for return. And I think he must have suffered some sort of setback with that knee, because he disappeared. And Adoree Jackson's sighting out on the practice field, I think you'd probably come about as soon as seeing Bigfoot on the practice field and have a Bigfoot sighting out there as you would an Adoree Jackson sighting these days. So I think what happened was he must have had some sort of setback. I think the reason they've not transferred it back to IR is they must hold out some sort of hope that he's going to be able to give them something in the month of December and in the playoffs, because that's the only reason you wouldn't go ahead and just shut him down for the year.
So, Terry, in looking at the injury report for the last couple of days, it seems like we play this game with you every Friday when we have you on before they actually hit the field, because we're all anxious to see what's going to happen. But another piece of good news, along with, I guess, the news on DeForest Buckner, is that Roger Saffold has been able to at least do some things in practice. I'm still not sure what that means in terms of his availability, but boy, it'd be great to have him out there if he could give you, if he could finish the game.
Yeah, it really would, because he would help solidify that left side of the offensive line. With Ty Sambrello now out, you're looking at being down to your third left tackle, which I presume is going to be David Quisenberry, although they could always flip Dennis Kelly over to the left side and put Quisenberry or the aforementioned Isaiah Wilson on the right side. And the only other option would be to put Saffold out at left tackle and stick with that kid, Aaron Brewer, that played last week and actually played pretty well in Mike Vrabel's assessment of him. I think, though, with Saffold not healthy, I doubt that would be an option. I think if Saffold's not close to 100%, you want him in there and is comfortable in playing where you can get as much out of him as possible without asking any extra. So if they can get him back, it certainly would be a boost for an offensive line that's taken its share of hits this year.
Also in the category of boost, Kenny Vaccaro has been a full participant coming off of the concussion protocol, and now we see Adam Humphries able to do some limited things in practice yesterday. So, again, just reinforcements. They were so depleted in that win over the Ravens. It was pretty remarkable. I think we're going to look back on that game. You hope there's not another wave of injuries, but they were down about as low as you could go. So just to get a few of these guys back would just give a mental lift, if nothing else.
Yeah, the Vaccaro thing was really a mystery because he was added to the injury report last Thursday, not yesterday, but the Thursday before. And then they declared him out on that Saturday after having listed him as questionable. Said that he was listed with a neck injury, and then they said that he was having concussion-like symptoms. So I think Kenny Vaccaro is probably on track to be back this week. Adam Humphries, I guess, today would probably tell the tape for him. If he's able to give them something and able to clear the concussion protocol with the independent doctors, then if he can give them something, that pretty much puts their receiving core back at full strength, and that would be a big, big boost against the Colts going into a game that you guys know is probably going to decide the AFC South title.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that. We were talking about that earlier this week, Terry, that when you look at Humphries missing as many games as he's missed, Davis and Brown each have missed two games for different reasons, but they have not had those three on the field for more than about 2.5 games out of the 10. So, because Humphries right before the half of the Bengals game went out. So when you put it all together, they've only really had those three guys out there about a quarter of the time. So it'd be nice to have those three because we know how well Ryan Tannehill surveys a defense and finds matchups. And then he's going to, like you said, he's going to need to do that on Sunday.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, the more weapons you can get, especially skill positions, I think when you look at this Titans team, this is one of the few times in the past few years where you look at the Titans and you say that player for player, they looked more talented than the Colts at the skill position. I don't think we've been able to say that a lot over the years when you're talking about the Titans against the Colts. The Colts, on the other hand, probably are stronger on both lines, both offensive and defensive lines. And I think that was a big key in their win the first time because they were able to move the football with Hines and also with the rookie running back. His name is slipping my mind. From
Stewart,
They drafted. And they were able to move the ball that way. And plus, that Phillip Rivers got the ball so out of his hands so quickly in that first meeting. And, that's how they beat the Titans. The Titans are going to have, getting back to the receiver thoughts, the Titans are going to have to win the game by having some balance on offense. And that means using those weapons on the offensive end, those skill position players to complement Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill, I think, threw for 157 yards in that game. They've got to have more than that out of Ryan Tannehill, unless, of course, Derrick Henry goes off for 200 yards. But they need that balance. They need Henry with about 120, 125 to 30 yards rushing, somewhere 125 to 150 yards rushing, and then they need Tannehill with 200 yards passing. And I think a big part of that is going to be getting the ball into the hands of those skill players and letting them do their thing and not having key drops like A.J. Brown did early in that Colts game. It's kind of set the tone.
Yeah, boy, that one drop, we all still wonder what that would have done. But you make a great point sort of tying the two together, Terry, because one of the reasons why they didn't have more yards, they moved the ball pretty well. Henry ran it well. You mentioned not a lot of yards for Tannehill, but another aspect was they couldn't get on the field. They didn't have the ball a whole lot because the special teams goof-ups and the Colts were on the field a lot. And so that was something that I was looking at. The Colts have excellent pass protection, one of the best in the league. The Titans, we know, have maybe, arguably, the worst rate of quarterback pressures in the league, depending on what stat analytics thing you're looking at. They can be last, right? If they're not last, they're close. And one of the things you hit on, Rivers, he definitely got rid of the ball quick, and that was something that was mentioned, but there was just nothing to disrupt his rhythm, right? He could take an extra second if he wanted to. He had the time. And he picked the Titans apart. I'm just wondering what adjustments they'll try to make because they've got to get him out of rhythm. That's when he makes mistakes. If he is on rhythm, you know, he could probably be 45 years old or 50 years old and still make the passes he was able to make.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, the thing of it is, you guys know this, Phillip Rivers doesn't have a big arm and anymore. You know, he's not the Phillip Rivers of 10 years ago where he could throw the ball down the field, throw a lot of those deep outs or those deep post patterns and things like that. He's not that guy anymore. And if I'm the Titans, you know, one of the things that they've got to do, even if they don't have their frontline corners out there, they've got to play a little bit more press man coverage and take away those little slants and hitches and those little short routes that hit where he's hitting the guy in stride and then he's running for 3 or 4 yards extra before the defensive back ever gets there to make the tackle. Play press coverage, make Phillip Rivers beat you deep, to me, is the way you do it with against him these days. Not sit back and let him pick you apart while you play soft zone.
How's this play out on Sunday?
Ooh, you know, I want to pick the Titans because I think they're a better team top to bottom.
But
just have their number. Colts just have their number. So until I see them do otherwise, I'm going with Indy in probably a 3 or 4 point game.
Yeah, it's hard to see. Just the history. But I guess we'll find out what direction people are going to go in our final hour of the program in Pick 6. Terry, really appreciate it as always. We'll be watching on Sunday, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Sounds good. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, you too. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. And, yeah, Sunday up in Indy, Titans and Colts, final matchup of the regular season for those two teams. We'll come back and discuss some of that, discuss some of what you heard. We'll throw some numbers your way. And I'll ask Willie that question. Who gets on the field first, Isaiah Wilson or Adoree Jackson? Or is it none of the above? Terry even threw out, it's probably none of the above. Are you kidding me? Really? By the way, Texas has just scored. Yeah, there is college football today. There's a pretty good slate of college football. Texas has just scored to extend their lead. Extra point pending right now, 9-0 over Iowa State. You've got Notre Dame and North Carolina a little bit later. Some good games. And a game on Fox here coming up in about 45 minutes. This game, by the way, if you're looking for it, is on ABC. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. We want to know what's made you mad this week. You just made the list coming up at noon. $25 gift card to Burger Republic. Hello. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. Pick 6 also in the final hour. Are you out there? Is anybody out there today? What is everybody doing today? What are they doing? We're working. What are you doing? I just don't get the sense that shopping's going to be the same. I don't think. I don't know what it's like out there.
I hope it's not crazy the same. This is what the CDC and everybody says. You know, you shouldn't do things the same way that you've been doing it. But we know based on the numbers, people weren't really supposed to travel for Thanksgiving. But, like, millions and millions of people did. So I would imagine there's plenty of people out there shopping.
Everybody I've talked to, Thanksgiving was different.
Well, the fact is, like, 50 million people flew. I mean, the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, they got on a plane. Even though everybody said, you know, probably not a good idea. Well, they went.
You know what? If it's not a good idea, then just shut down the airports. You shouldn't do it. They're not going to do that, are they? No.
These are the things. These are the things we deal with, right?
Like, uh-huh.
Probably not an idea to go to a restaurant, but the restaurants are open.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's probably not a good idea to do a lot of things, but they've been open.
Don't gather a bunch of people in your house, but you can't go to a restaurant. Mm. But, you know, you could. But the restaurants are open. So these are all tough decisions that we have. We've had to deal with this, so we will keep soldiering on.
We will, like Texas right now, leading Iowa State 10-0, 10-0 in midway through the first quarter.
Also, the Zags in college hoops taking it too. Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers right now.
Auburn did not look great in their game. They had did they win in overtime on St. Joe's?
They won in overtime, but I it's hard to tell right now. You tell me, Elijah, is St. Joseph's supposed to be a factor in their conference? So, you know, we know they've had good teams. They looked okay to me. They hit some shots, but it's hard to get a read on Auburn, but give them credit. They got it done.
Yeah. I wouldn't have expected St. Joseph's to push them to overtime. And honestly, Auburn should have been better, but I mean, Auburn plays a lot of those games, too, just because of their style of play. They play so
many possessions. Lack of
defense. Yeah. Sometimes they will sacrifice some defensive integrity to up the possessions a little bit, and a lot of short possessions on their end.
Not afraid to take the three after one or two passes.
And that's been the fun part about having Gonzaga-Auburn on in here, is that Gonzaga will score like 8 or 10 points in a row, and then Auburn scores like 6 really, really fast, and you think, okay, maybe they might make a little bit of a run, and then they just go like cold for 5 minutes at a time. But this is, kind of Auburn style, but Auburn's definitely going to be down this year, and I think the game against St. Joseph's is a little bit of a indication of that early.
Yeah, Gonzaga up 65-47, 6 minutes into the second half.
In about 40 minutes, it'll be Nebraska and Iowa at noon. That'll be on Fox. Nebraska stinks. I mean, they stink. So, it's interesting on how these Scott Frost and Jim Harbaugh, right? Those two, the saviors, are coming home to coach our programs. We will do anything to have these guys coach. Now we're going to be back. We're back. Nebraska got housed last week by, what was it, Illinois? I mean, just got drilled by Illinois. They're not very good. I suspect they'll get drilled again today. So that game is on Fox. Like I said, Notre Dame and North Carolina is on ABC, so that'll be following the Texas-Iowa State game today. It should be a good one, Notre Dame and North Carolina. I think Notre Dame should take care of business, but, you know, you never know.
That's a dangerous game. I think that's a dangerous game.
Could be a dangerous game.
North Carolina's pretty good.
They are. I would say right now, they have not lived up to the expectations. They came in with a lot of hype, and they've already dropped a couple. So I don't think they've been as good as everybody thought maybe they were going to be. All right, how would you answer the question that I threw out to Terry? Who hits the field first this season, or is it C, none of the above, Adoree Jackson or Isaiah Wilson?
Well, I hope it's Adoree Jackson.
I didn't say who you hope. I said who you think.
Because that would mean that they don't have to use Isaiah Wilson. I think if they have
their way. Why do you not want them to use Isaiah Wilson, though? Why? Why is that a good thing?
Because that means they wouldn't have any more injuries than they already have right now on the offensive line. I think they, if they had their druthers, they would just like to roll with what they've got. I think it'd be hard to insert him in at this stage of the season. I think they're just so far down the road, they don't want to have to go there. Whereas I think the minute that Adoree Jackson gets the go-ahead, they would throw him in there just to have another guy. He's got the experience. He can. They desperately need what he has to offer. But with each passing day, you know, right now as we sit here, do we think there's any chance of Adoree Jackson playing? I mean, there's a chance, but
it doesn't feel like
doesn't feel like it at all. He didn't practice
well,
at all Wednesday or
Thursday.
When Terry
says you have a better chance of seeing Bigfoot at practice, that's not encouraging.
It's been a long time now since he even practiced, so he seems to be going backwards. So could he practice today and they throw him in there Sunday? I suppose that's possible, but chances seem very, very low right now of that happening. So by the same token, if they thought that Adoree Jackson was not going to play the rest of the year, they could just put him back on IR and be done with it. They could. So they certainly think that at some point, he can play. It just seems like forever. It's just not going to be this week. So my answer is going to be Adoree Jackson. But I don't think either of them are going to be in there this weekend. Now, as soon as I say that, we think Isaiah Wilson will be active for the game, right? So he will be standing there. His uniform is going to be nice and clean, and they hope it stays that way.
I think the answer needs to be D, all the above, is what it needs to be. By the way, Iowa State counters with a touchdown of their own, a 38-yard touchdown. So Cyclones get back into it, now trail 10-7 to Tejas. The answer needs to be D, all the above. I have no interest in a redshirt year for Isaiah Wilson. By the way, he needs to be in there because he's a first-round talent. He should be beating out people right now. That's what he should be. Now, I have no faith whatsoever that he will
be
on the field.
Well, he would have to beat out Dennis Kelly.
Yeah, well, you can also move Dennis Kelly around. Well, he should. I mean, in all fairness, he should beat out Dennis Kelly. He's a first-round pick. He should be. He should be in there. I mean, we're now – the Titans have played – what is this, game 11 for them?
Yeah, but right? we know, this is their 11th what game of the season. Right? I mean, on draft day, that was the plan, I'm sure. But a lot has happened since then. And today, I mean, I'd love to be able to say that could happen. But it's the world is – is not that way for Isaiah Wilson right now. He's so far from being in there. I mean, I'm sure when the Blazers drafted Sam Bowie, they were thinking, oh, yeah, he'll do better than Jordan. We don't need Jordan. We got Clyde Drexler. Let's go with Bowie. I'm sure the plans that day is he should be better, but he wasn't.
So are you saying Isaiah Wilson's going to be a bust like Sam Bowie?
I'm saying this year he's not going to help you. I think we need to get over that they're just going to put him in one day because he's the first-round pick. It's not going to happen unless it's desperation at this point. I think it's pretty clear how they've gone about it.
Well, he's made a lot of choices for them. I don't know if he's still in that position, but, you know, a lot of this offseason and up to this point, he's made the decision for them because of his actions.
Right, but he hasn't had any actions for a week.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we're past all that. So now I'm saying, okay, that's right. He's not making the decision for them that, you know, he should be in there. I mean,
it may happen.
I'm not willing to throw away, like, let's just give up, you know, hey, let's just give him a red shirt year. Like, they're not in the business of having first round red shirt year people. They're not in the business for that, especially in a COVID year.
I'm just
giving everybody they can.
I'm giving you my mindset. Every day I look at that practice thing and I'm hoping to see Adoree Jackson. I'm just done worrying about Isaiah Wilson right now. I can't worry about it if I'm the Titans. If they suddenly make the move and they say, okay, we're making the switch, we're moving Dennis Kelly over, which is what would have to happen. You would move Dennis Kelly and you would put Isaiah Wilson's not playing left tackle. Right, they drafted him as a right tackle. He can't play guard. He's not going to play center. He's not a wild card guy. He is a guy that plays the right tackle position. So you have to make a drastic change. We've talked to Brad Hopkins about this. It's a pretty big move to do it. If they were to make that move, then okay. I would be pleasantly surprised. I guess I would be surprised in general. But I just don't see it happening. It will not happen unless Dennis Kelly gets hurt. So I just think they're moving forward with this plan. It looked very evident to me. So I'm looking at Isaiah Wilson next year, unless there is a emergency with injuries.
Well, that's a disappointment then, because that
sure
makes
it is.
This
it's
draft
a disappointment,
class
but that's
a,
but they can't do anything about that. They're 7-3 and they're trying to win playoff games. It's disappointing, yeah. But it's life.
Well, then the general manager hasn't given this roster, this head coach and this coaching staff much of a, you know, help with the draft class, because the draft class for the most part irrelevant for the most part. If that's the case, I mean, this draft class has had no impact, virtually no impact on this team this year. How many times can you keep doing that? Having a draft class that has no impact on your roster for a season.
Not very many. I mean, you need them eventually. You got to hope that eventually they help you. Like Christian Fulton is another guy that I still have hope that at some point he will play again and help them. And for them to really make noise in the playoffs, in my mind, they've got to have something from Fulton and from Jackson. I don't think they have to have anything from Isaiah Wilson this year to do well this year.
I mean, Darrington Evans and Isaiah Wilson are a first and a third round pick, and they have had zero impact on this roster. Zero. And they're going into their 11th game of the season. That's not good.
That's not how you draw it up, but they're 7-3.
Nope.
Can't cry over spilled milk. Got to keep moving forward.
I understand. I didn't say you're supposed to sit around and suck your thumb and cry about it, but I'm saying they'd also like to, you know, have some help. Those guys, you draft those guys. Look around the league. There's a lot of teams getting a lot of help from guys they just drafted this past April.
It can happen.
By the way, have you seen Justin Jefferson in Minnesota? He's a pretty good receiver. By the way, I think he's going to be a stud.
Van Jefferson had a nice touchdown catch.
Yes. Have you seen Chase Claypool in Pittsburgh? Those guys are pretty impactful.
No question. But as long as you're getting the production enough to be 7-3, you have to keep every day grinding and moving forward and hoping it gets better.
Well, you said you're kind of over hearing, listen to Isaiah Wilson talk. Well, I'm kind of over the Adoree Jackson. I mean, how long have we been talking about Adoree Jackson and a return for him? I mean, my goodness. Right now, the wasted oxygen and airtime we have spent on Adoree Jackson, which doesn't look like – I mean, I have zero faith that he's going to be out there this year. I think right now my answer would be if I had to pick one, I would probably lean more toward Isaiah Wilson than I would Adoree Jackson.
So you think that there will be injuries.
That we would see first.
So you're saying there will be injuries that force him in.
I don't know. I mean, once again, force him in?
Yeah. The offensive line doesn't rotate guys in and out of the lineup like wide receivers and defensive linemen or defensive backs. There's no rotation in the offensive line. The offensive line is in until somebody gets hurt. That's the only way he's going to get in, if somebody gets hurt.
The only way Isaiah Wilson is going to get, you know, better as a pro is playing. He's not going to get better in practice. He's not going to get better in, you know, meetings. The only way he's going to get better is to get out there. We heard the same thing about Nate Davis.
But this is not a team give people experience.
He's got to get out there.
First round pick. They're 7-3. If they were 3-7, then he'd be in there.
He's got to play.
He doesn't have to play.
Why? Nate Davis last year played.
They were
team went to the AFC Championship.
The offensive line was intact.
How could the offensive line be any worse than it is this year?
He doesn't play because Dennis Kelly is a very good right tackle. That's why they've kept him there. That position is not desperate.
You just said earlier this week when we were talking about this, they escaped more than anybody last year in the injury front. And I said, I'm not surprised by that. That's how you have success in this league. You get lucky and you have less injuries or impactful injuries than everybody else. Everybody deals with them. But you just said you were looking at the numbers and the Titans escaped almost better. They were a cleaner team than almost anybody. And I said, yes. Well, yeah, that's typically how you get to the AFC Championship game.
But, Darren, who were they playing at right guard last year?
Well, they had Conklin.
No, right guard. That's where.
Oh, right guard. Nate Davis came in halfway through.
Right. And who did he replace?
Dennis Kelly.
Well, Dennis Kelly was playing left tackle when LaJuan
was hurt.
That was
the first four games of the season.
Right.
Davis came in the second half of the year.
Okay. But who was playing for a while? Mr. Jamil Douglas, I believe, was in there.
Well,
They had some very difficult times.
Willie, Jamil Douglas is playing this year. So you telling me, I mean, They keep plugging him in.
Not in Isaiah Wilson's spot. You're forgetting what I'm saying. Dennis Kelly is the right tackle. He is a very good offensive lineman.
Dennis Kelly can play wherever you tell him to play.
Yeah, but you have to make a pretty big change. Like, this would be the week. If they really felt like Isaiah Wilson was on the radar, they could have made the move to switch Dennis Kelly to the other side. This would be a second chance to do it. The first chance was when LaJuan got hurt. The second chance is now when Sobrio gets hurt. And they still don't think that's the way to go. Doesn't that tell you where they are in Isaiah Wilson? That tells you that he's not on the radar. He's not being considered yet. He is a desperation move at this point. They feel like Dan Quisenberry. Is it Quisenberry or Quesenberry or Kessenberry?
Whatever.
It's a different spelling, so we know he's not related to the submariner.
E-rat,
the late Dan Quisenberry.
Errat. I mean, you know, whatever.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but you get what I'm saying. David Quisenberry is a journeyman who's been around for a long time. They think he's better equipped to handle left tackle than to move Dennis Kelly over and put Isaiah Wilson in. That tells you all you need to know about where they think Isaiah Wilson is right now.
Like I said, unfortunately, I think the answer is probably going to be C, none of the above. I don't know if we're going to see either one of them this year.
Or Adoree Jackson would be on season-ending IR if he wasn't going to play the rest of the year. I don't think he's going to play this week, but I'm still holding out hope that Jackson plays. I'm not holding my breath at all that Isaiah Wilson gets in there unless they get so desperate that, say, Kelly gets hurt. If Kelly gets hurt, which, by the way, he has not practiced much the last few weeks.
Not.
He is dealing with an injury.
He'll play.
Right, he's playing through. We feel like he's going to play.
He's a gamer.
But if he can't play, then I don't know if they have any other choice. They're going to have to throw him in there.
Or they could do what they've been doing all year. We could watch on Sunday and go, who the hell is that? Right? Where did that guy come from? Who is that?
Right. The Aaron Brewer Award.
Right. Some guy every week out of nowhere that we've never heard of.
Who are some of the other guys that have won that award this week? Breon Borders has won the award. The punter, and also, thank goodness, it appears that Brett Kern will be able to punt this weekend, right, with the moves they've made since we last read.
Ooh, by the way, Bills, Cody Ford out for the season.
I know,
yikes.
That's big.
That's
their
big
left tackle?
Loss for them. Woo!
Yeah, that's not good. And this is another thing to keep in mind, is every team does have to deal with this on some level. Some are worse than others, but just hanging in there. But who are some other awards for the Aaron Brewer was the guy that popped out of nowhere. Who is that guy? Breon Borders a couple weeks ago, and Breon Borders played like every snap last week, right? So now we know who he is, but he completely came out of left field. Cameron Batson went away for a long time and then popped back in there. Deontay Foreman, no question, won that award.
Yep.
There in his game where we were like, who is this guy? He's pretty good. He had like 37 yards on 5 carries when he popped into the lineup. Like, they've got some guys.
Yeah, they have some guys.
So they are getting more out of those guys.
Did
and Isaiah Wilson
Tart,
still
did you
doesn't.
Hear me say Tierre Tart? Did you know Tart? who's
I like Strawberry Tart. I'd never heard of Mr. Tart.
Right. Well, there you go. That's why I said he's another one.
It's crazy how this works.
I mean, we would have said that. Who was the guy that was out there, the linebacker? I don't even know how you say his last name. What is it? Zubnar or something?
Yeah, he was like the first week when Rashawn Evans
right.
got thrown out of the
was
game.
It, Zubnar? I don't even know how you say his last name. He's one that qualifies. I can't even say his name.
Yeah. Will Compton left and came back, and he's playing a lot. And now they're hoping that David Long, I guess, would come back and play more. They need him now that Jayon Brown is out. But this is the scrap heap. You got to get stuff from the scrap heap in this league.
It's pretty
remarkable how well they do with that. I don't think not every team is able to do it as well as they've done it, I think.
Well,
I mean, I don't watch every team as closely as I watch them, but it is pretty remarkable how they find these guys.
Did you mention Sonoris Perry?
Sonoris Perry's another one. He goes away for a while. He gets hurt. He comes back, and there he is again.
Who the hell's that? All right, we will come back. We'll actually get you a couple scores, updates on college basketball and college football, and wrap up the second hour. By the way, Nate on Twitter says that he has been shopping at the Preds locker room, you know, the pro shop. They got a sidewalk sale. There you go.
Nice.
And he said it wasn't really busy
Smart
at
move.
All.
Outdoors? Yeah, good.
He goes, probably a lot of people are shopping online. I don't doubt that at all, for sure. Cool. Well, they've got, don't they have, I think, 50% off today?
Oh, it's Gold Friday. Yeah, Gold Friday. This is also something you always.
I need to be careful. I don't want to give discounts that aren't true. I think it's 50%. Check that. Let's check. Let's fact check. I think it's 50% off today.
The guy you're thinking of, by the way, who is another candidate for the weekly Aaron Brewer Award, is Nick. Let me say Dzubnar.
I said Zubnar or something.
Yeah, on the Titans official website.
Okay.
They have Dzubnar is how you say it.
Dzubnar. Okay.
And he is like a goal line linebacker who will make a cameo appearance, and I guess he goes in on special teams. But another guy, just
oh,
one
you
of those
want, you
anonymous
want one?
Titans.
Here's one. Look for Marshall Newhouse, Willie. Do you know why? Because Jim Wyatt just tweeted 13 seconds ago. The Titans have added offensive lineman Marshall Newhouse to their practice squad. We will see him.
Is he related to Robert Newhouse?
I don't believe so.
Cowboys?
I don't think so. But I also didn't know that the kid for Indiana is Dale Davis's kid. I was watching him Wednesday night against Tennessee Tech. He's really good.
You learn something every day.
I know. So Marshall Newhouse, at some point we will bring him up. I'm sure he will see the field. He's a veteran in the league, by the way. He's played for 10 seasons.
I do know this. Dale Davis was tough.
Dale Davis was really
good. You did not want to mess with that
guy. No, that guy was good. All right, we'll come back. Wrap up the second hour. Darren Donick and Chase next. November's winding down, but you're not too late to help out. We know November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and the Predators Foundation still needs your help towards Smashville Donates campaign. Visit NashvillePredators.com/365Fund to make a donation to the 365 Pediatric Fund, presented by Twice Daily. Purchase Hockey Fights Cancer gear or learn more. You can also bid on the silent auction items, which are always good, by texting the word PREDS to 76278. Text the word PREDS to 76278. Follow the Predators Foundation at PREDS Foundation on Twitter and on Instagram for more information. Tejas has added on a field goal. Texas now leads Iowa State 13-7 with 21 seconds left in the first quarter. Like I said, coming up in about 10 minutes, you'll have Nebraska at Iowa. Liberty right now leading UMass 14-0. Liberty is going to smoke UMass because UMass stinks. Iowa and Nebraska will be on Fox. And don't forget Notre Dame and North Carolina. Possible upset alert. Notre Dame, North Carolina on ABC at about 2:30 this afternoon. Okay. Do you have any college basketball scores you would like to pass along on this very active sports day?
My son has been watching Gonzaga just destroy Auburn. It's 84-60 right now. Virginia is also in action. They are preseason number 4. We'll see if they can stay at that. That's always the fun preseason college basketball rankings, especially in a year like now. Pretty hard to gauge. And they're only up 39-37 with 10 minutes to go against San Francisco, the Dons. I don't think Bill Russell is playing
nope,
for the Dons.
Don't think so.
So Virginia having a little, they're getting pushed a little bit.
Dons
the Home Light Classic. Where is the Home Light Classic, Elijah? Where is that being played?
That one I'm not too sure about.
I mean, you just see this court, right? And they have the sponsor everywhere. But I'm like, put the city. Somebody
the
put
Mohegan
the city
Sun?
On the court somewhere or on the scorer's table so we know where the game is.
It's at the Mohegan Sun. So that's in
where is the Mohegan Sun? Where is that?
No, it's that one is in Connecticut. That's where the Connecticut Sun plays.
That is correct.
Okay, but can somebody put Connecticut? Maybe this is giving away one of my on the lists.
Ooh.
Like the Bad Boy Mowers crossover classic. Great. Can somebody put on South Dakota on the court somewhere so we know that that's the one in South Dakota that our buddy Dan Dockich is there? You know, that you can distinguish this.
Oh, yeah. And then
just same somewhere. I'm not asking you to just put it on the ticker, but somewhere on the court where we can say, okay, they're in South Dakota.
See,
okay, they're in Connecticut.
For the Auburn-Gonzaga game, they at least have Fort Myers at the half-court logo.
Yes,
so you know it's
I figured
in Fort
that one
Myers.
Out. Thankfully, they had that.
That's a good example of one that's following your guidelines
yes.
here.
Appreciate that.
The Zags, they're obviously the number one team in the land. They look like the real deal, man. They are absolutely torching Auburn.
They always have guys, right? There's always – whenever they lose the guys from before, they get new guys.
And they beat Kansas, if you didn't see, the other night. They scored 102 on Kansas. And right now, not that it's a big deal scoring a lot on Auburn, because, like I said, they're not defensively responsible, but they've already put 88 on Auburn, and there's still 3 minutes to go.
They might score more points in this game than ETSU and MTSU combined. They're at 48-35 ETSU with 3 minutes left. MTSU has 25 turnovers.
Western Kentucky and West Virginia out in South Dakota. That'll be at 12:30. So about, what is that, about 35 minutes away from tip? That could be a really interesting game. That could be a good game. Western Kentucky, they're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
Dan Dockich was saying possible lottery pick on that
Bassey.
Team. Mm-hmm.
Bassey is good.
Vanderbilt hosts Valpo tonight. Vanderbilt is a 6-point favorite. I don't know. Maybe Elijah, we just assume Valpo is going to be good in their conference. Of course, for years they were in the Horizon. Now they're in the Missouri Valley, so it's a little harder for them to dominate every year. But we'll see what Jerry Stackhouse has got with his. He's got a couple of transfers that are going to start. One from Rice, one from Notre Dame. There's a third transfer from Kansas that is going to come off the bench. We'll see if he helps them. They just have more depth this year. And, of course, you know, all those true freshmen, they got thrown to the Wolves last year but got to play a ton, like Dylan Dessou and Scottie Pippen Jr. They're back. So I'm curious to see. They also got Cleavon Brown back, who missed most of the year last year, who is, you know, one of those guys that's been around forever. He's not great, but he's a good, solid, serviceable big man, which is not easy to find. So I think they'll have more numbers and depth. We'll see where it translates to wins, but we'll see what they have to bring to the table tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited just to see what they have. I mean, just to see what all carries
Like, how much better
over.
Is Scottie Pippen this year than last year? How much stronger? Mm-hmm. You know, these are all questions. If you look at their numbers last year, they were ugly on a lot of nights. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's what happens when a freshman has to play 30 or 35 minutes.
But so they were sizable.
How much better
growth.
Can they be?
I mean, that's the thing last year. I mean, yeah, they didn't win a ton of SEC games. They I think won, what, two?
Three.
Or three, it's right. And they, but there was some sizable growth and improvement. And that was the biggest difference between the, last year and the year before, where obviously, I mean, you could accuse them of quitting the year before when they went winless in the conference. But there was some dedication to getting better. They hung around a lot of games, too. And even when your best player goes down, they still were able to find ways to steal some wins. So, and seeing how they carry that over this year is going to be really interesting, too. And especially with the transfers, because they don't have as much carryover from last year, but they're still going to have some valuable D1 experience. I know DJ Harvey at Notre Dame played some important minutes when he was at Notre Dame in the ACC in some really big games on some solid Notre Dame teams. So that's going to be valuable. I think Vanderbilt's going to improve. I think Joe Rexroad on the morning show today, we were calling our shots. He alluded to him thinking that Vanderbilt could have a winning record in the SEC.
The SEC is going to be down.
That,
so I think there's a better chance of that. If they won 7 or 8 in the league, that would be a pretty good step forward, because I think they really like their recruiting class for next year, and they will have most of these guys back from this year's team. Although, as you mentioned, DJ Harvey, they only have him for 1 year, right? He's a one-year guy from Notre Dame. So he's a key to how well they do this year. But it might be a little stretch for 500, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely possible. Yeah. And the one thing that is going to help them is the SEC being so down. Just a lot of guys lost to the NBA draft, and they're going to ask a lot of freshmen. For most of these teams, like Auburn's going to be carried by freshmen, and they're taking their lumps, obviously, right now, and they took it yesterday against St. Joe's. I mean, Alabama's going to be experiencing the same thing. Don't really know what Kentucky's got yet, just because they have so much newness on that team as well as they do every year. So,
hey, Darren, speaking of that, did you hear Coach Cal talking about, remember, Kentucky beat Moorhead the other day, and then he had a little bit of a, as he likes to do, like he almost like Nick Saban, he picks his spots. He decided to make a speech, like he was delivering a message. Did you see it? About, you know, we look like a good team, and if we start losing some games because we play a very tough schedule, I want you to blame me and not the team. Did you hear that?
If he did, he will not say it because he has stepped away for a second.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I did not get my was not communicating via the text, was not keeping an eye on there. But I thought that was pretty interesting with where Kentucky is. They're preseason number 10, but I think Coach Cal is a little concerned, as he is a lot of times in the early part of the season, and especially this year, and maybe you don't have as much practice time and as much ability to develop a young roster like he has to every year.
And that's the thing about Coach Cal that I like the most and respect the most about him, you know, in his coaching style, is that he doesn't coach the scoreboard a lot of times, especially early on in the year. He's tracking progress. He's coaching progress. And when he's talking to the media and he's, I guess, elaborating on his team, he's doing it on a progress-to-progress basis. They could beat Moorhead State by 35. And if he doesn't see actual progress or maturity of his team gelling on the floor, then it's meaningless to him. So that's a really good thing about Coach Cal that I've really enjoyed over the years. And that's how you have to be able to coach a team full of freshmen every single year.
All right, when we come back, it'll be time to put people on the list. Put things on the list. It could be holiday time. It could be your angst with whatever happened for Thanksgiving. But we give that an open slate for you to jump in there. So we want you to participate. We've got a great prize for you. 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Coming up next here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.